How are you all doing today? Can I ask one of people in the back to turn down the pulpit lights down a little bit, please? Even though I'm not wearing glasses, I still have this problem with blurring sometimes, and the light really bothers me. So if we can kind of tone the lights down just a hair, a little more. That's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, I never thought that when I got eye surgery for my cataracts, before I had eye surgery for my cataracts, I couldn't look into headlights. I couldn't look at any light, really, because it was just so blind for me, and it just literally made me see nothing. And then after I got my cataracts done and after I had healed, I can't hardly stand to see the sunshine because it's too bright for me. So I'm usually walking around with sunglasses on, but I thought today might not be an appropriate time to do that. So we're going to talk today about a special man that's not much is known about, and his name is Enoch. Some people call him Enoch. I particularly call him Enoch, but some people know him as Enoch. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about him today. And today our sermon is entitled The Walk of Faith. In the early chapters of Genesis, especially in chapter 5, the Holy Spirit chronicles a record of genealogies, a family tree, if you will, from Adam all the way down to Noah. And for many of these people, all we know is that they had lived, and that they had children, and that they died. Men like Kenan and Methuselah and Lamech may not be very important in the unfolding drama of human history, but these men are actually living links on a long lineage that reaches from the creation of Adam to the very birth of Jesus Christ. God's promise to send the Savior depended on the faith of many ordinary men who to us are just unfamiliar people who had difficult names to pronounce within a withered old family tree. One of those unfamiliar names that we are going to look at is called Enoch. The meaning of Enoch in the Hebrew means dedicated or teacher. He is mentioned less than a handful of times in the Bible, and yet he has been blessed with one of the most cherished distinctions ever given to mankind. You see, he never died. So let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. And this should be popping up on your screen soon. And it says this, starting with verse 18. I'm reading what they call the easy version. And there is really a reason for that, because one is just easier for me to read. When Jared was 162 years old, he had a son, and he called him Enoch. And after Enoch was born, Jared lived another 800 years. And during this time, he had other sons and he had other daughters. Jared was 962 years old when he died. And when Enoch was 65 years old, he had a son, and he called him Methuselah. After Methuselah was born, Enoch lived as God wanted him to for 300 years, walking with him. And during this time, he had other sons and other daughters. And Enoch lived on this earth for 365 years. Enoch lived to please God and all the time. And then Enoch was not there anymore. God took Enoch to be with him. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And we're waiting for that to come up. There it is. Enoch also believed God. Because of Enoch's faith, God took him away to heaven. He did not die like other people. As a result, no one could ever find him because God had taken him away. And before God took him away, it was clear that Enoch made God happy. Anyone who comes to God must believe that God is there. And they also must believe that God helps everyone who wants to know him. Hebrews tells us that he pleased God. Genesis tells us why he pleased God. He pleased God because he walked with God. So the way that you please God is the way that you walk with God. And it takes faith to please God by walking with him, because you're dealing with a God that's often invisible and dealing with things about God that are invisible. So in order to please God, you must walk with God. But what does it mean to walk with God? The New Testament phrase is to walk in the Spirit. So that is the New Testament concept for the Old Testament phrase of walking with God. The Bible says that you walk in the Spirit. And when you walk, you're taking a step after step after step after step. It is not a hop. It's not a leap. It's not a jump. It's a walk. And so that means it's ongoing and that it's progressive, meaning that you continually walk a little longer than the day before, day after day. And so we're told about Enoch. He walked with God for 300 years. He started his walk when he was 65 years old, when he had Methuselah, and then he walked with God for 300 years after. It does imply in the scripture that Enoch didn't start his walk until after the birth of Enoch, after the birth of Methuselah, so he was 65 years of age, which could have been a wake-up call for Enoch due to the wickedness of mankind at the time of his son's birth. As a side note, the name of Methuselah means this: when he is dead, it shall come. The great flood of Noah came the same year that Methuselah died. Perhaps the Holy Spirit told Enoch when his son was born that he would destroy the world because of the people's wickedness, and thus caused a wake-up call for Enoch to get his life straight. If we look at our own lives, we may have often seen the wake-up call as well, particularly of a particular large or catastrophic event, or simply just by the quiet voice of God telling us to repent and to come to Him, realizing our sin. And so this was a walk over an extended period of time, step by step. In other words, in order to have a walk with God, God is to have bearing on your life and the steps that you take. It means that God is a part of your decision making, that He's a part of your thought process, that He's a part of your calendar, that He's a part of your schedule, that He's a part of your relationship. Every step that you take, every move that you make, everything, every meandering move that you do, everything that you're involved with, God is attached to it, and you're aligning yourself with Him. Now, walking assumes something. If you're a walker and you like to walk with someone, it's probably someone that you enjoy walking with. You probably don't like walking with someone that you don't like because you're not in harmony with them. And so it would be an uncomfortable walk because there is no relationship at all. Amos 3:3 says this: if two people travel together, they first have to agree in their travel. In other words, it's hard to walk with some folks if you're in conflict with them. And so the walk with God involves agreeing with Him. It means that there is harmony, that there is an agreement and a shared spiritual perspective. In order to do this, Hebrews says in verse 6, anyone who comes to God must believe that God is there, that they must believe that God helps everyone who wants to know Him. It's hard to walk with someone if you're not sure that they're really there. So there is an assumption of walking with God, and that is that the God that you're walking there is there to be walked with. If you don't believe that you're walking with somebody that you cannot see, you're not sure that He is there, then you cannot be sure that you can be walked with. But there are a lot of Christian doubters today, and they believe a lot of things about God, but without believing in Him. Even Satan himself believes of God, but doesn't believe in Him. And that is to say that they do not take seriously the existence of God in the Bible. Now let me explain something about believing that He is. First, you must believe that He is, and that is different than believing that it is. Because what you must believe about God is that He is personable and therefore knowable. If we have people that believe that God is a concept, a force, a meandering immaterial reality, God is an is. He is not an it. So you must believe that God, who is asking you to walk with Him, really wants to walk with you because he really wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want just a visit from you. He's not asking you to come and see him once every couple of weeks. He's not asking for part-time visitation. He's after full custody of you. The second thing that you must believe if you're going to walk with God, verse 6 says, is that they must also believe that God helps everyone who wants to know him. You must believe that God is real and that he is a rewarder, that he is personal and a responder. You must believe that the God who wants to walk with me is going to walk with me and not waste my time on the journey. And two, that God is going to respond to my belief in him and in my walk with him. One of the reasons that we're not seeing more of God is that even if we believe him, we do not believe that there's going to be a response from him. We must believe in him and that there is a response that we are going to get from him if indeed we are going to be walking with him, seeking to please him, and that he is going to in fact join us, and that he is going to walk with us. The issue on the floor is, though, do you want to walk with God? Or do you have a need to want to walk with God? I need to want to walk with God if I expect God to want to walk with me. And that he is the rewarder, verse 6 says, of those who want to know him. In other words, he's going to walk with you if you want to walk with him. But if he's not going to be insulted and walk with you when you don't want to walk with him. So there is this issue of design in walking with God, which is walking in the Spirit, as we said, which is bringing God to bear on all life that is walking with God. It is where you are in God's environment, seeking to please him in every aspect of your life. This explains what Paul means when he says, pray without ceasing. Because if you're walking with him, you will know that when you walk with somebody, you know you talk about this or you talk about that, because you're walking together. One of the reasons that you walk with somebody is not to have to bear the burden of having to walk by yourself. So they create a positive distraction, even if you're climbing up a hill. So God says, in the hills of life, the movement of life, I want you and I to talk about everything, to pray without ceasing, to talk about your job, to talk about your kids, to talk about your family, to talk about your money, about yourself, how your health is going. He says, let's just talk, because I really enjoy talking with you and spending time with you. So let's just keep talking. You see, you have engaged him. You have made him a part of the operational reality on a very personal level on every aspect of your life. He has become the environment of the movement. But walking with God, if you're going to walk with God, will mean that you will often have to be walking against the culture, society. I know that you heard me, and some of y'all probably don't necessarily like that. So let me say it again. Walking with God will often mean that you will walk out of step of society because you are listening to the beat of a different drummer, a different set of standards of living. The New Testament talks about Enoch in another place as well, the next to the last book in the New Testament, the book of Jude. Jude, which is only one chapter in verses 14 and 15, says these words. Enoch belonged to the seventh family of Adam. I lost my place. Hold on a second. Enoch also spoke about false teachers. Enoch believed belonged to the seventh generation or family of Adam that was born, starting with Adam. He said, the Lord took me, the Lord will come with many thousands of his angels. He will judge all people. He will punish everyone who has turned against him. He will punish them because of the bad things that they have done against him. He will punish them because of all the bad words that they have spoken against him. And yes, he will punish everyone that does not please him. And so now Jude picks up on this man Enoch from the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter. Jude says that Enoch in the seventh family of Adam. He just doesn't tell you that his name is Enoch like Hebrews does. He tells us that he is Enoch in the seventh family from Adam. Why does he want you to know that Enoch came from the seventh family of Adam? Because there were two Enochs in the Bible in Genesis, one in verse chapter 4, where there was Enoch, the son of Cain. See, Enoch, the son of Cain, had a city named after him. And Jude says this, I'm not talking about that Enoch. That's not the Enoch that I want to talk about. I'm not talking about Cain's baby boy. I'm talking about Jared's family of Enoch, the father of Methuselah. He says that I don't want you to get confused here, for you see, people can have the same names, but they don't necessarily share the same nature. Enoch, the son of Cain, had a city named after him, and he was the first city built, believe it or not. It was either built by Cain, his father, or in Genesis 4, or by Enoch himself. It was east of the land of Nod, where Cain was banished for killing his brother Abel. So Enoch, the son of Cain, was recognized by man. But Enoch, in the seventh family of Adam, was not known by man, but that he was known by God. For Enoch walked with God and was not. So the question is, who do you want to know your name? You can live for people, and you can have notoriety named after you. You can have power named after you. You can have success named after you. Or you can have privilege named after you. Or you can have God knowing your name. So the question is, who do you want to know your name? He said Enoch in the seventh family of Adam says that he is not a private Christian. He was not a spiritual CIA representative. That he was not a covert operative. That he did not hide in the grasses, tall grasses of secrecy. He says that in his notoriety, that he was as prophesying against the ungodliness of his day. This wasn't this quiet little Christian sitting in church where no one knew that he belonged to God but him. It seems that everyone today is coming out of the closet lately. Actors and actresses are coming out of the closet. Singers are coming out of the closet. Politicians are coming out of the closet. Preachers and pastors are coming out of the closet. It seems that everybody is coming out of the closet lately. So you mean to tell me that you can't take your stand and come out of the closet as well and let the world know that you walk with God? I have heard the excuses, but that is how I walk. That is how I roll. I cannot upset the apple cart. Well, let me tell you that no one else is being silent today. And why should those who walk with Christ be silent? We have even churches giving in to ungodliness, churches okaying ungodliness. Well, let it be known that at Houston First Church of God, we stand with the Word of God. We stand with the Scripture, not with the culture that presents to us. It doesn't matter if it's popular. It doesn't matter if the world accepted it. He said, Enoch, who walked with God, let the ungodly know that it is not right. He calls that sin. God calls that unrighteousness. God does not agree with men marrying men or women marrying women. He doesn't agree with premarital sex. He does not agree with drunkenness. He does not agree with lust for power and money. He does not agree with loving only those who are equal to our standard of life. He does not agree in worshiping other things. He does not agree in abortion. He does not agree in false teaching. God is not accepting of that. Enoch took a stand, and we should too. And for that, you should not have to apologize for it, if you're walking with God. Because if you're walking with God and the walk with God, you must take a stand. As Joshua said in the Old Testament, I cannot control what the rest of y'all are going to do, but for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. So Enoch did not compromise with the ungodliness in order to be popular or in order to have a big name. You may work in a hostile environment. You may even live in a hostile environment. But it ought to be clear that you belong to the kingdom of heaven, and that you belong to the King named Jesus, and that you are a representative of that kingdom. If the unrighteousness can represent hell, then God has called you to represent heaven, because he has invited you to walk with him. You see, Enoch walked with God. One of the realities is that the closer you get to God, the more sensitive you're going to become to sin or unrighteousness in your life and in the unrighteousness of the culture in which you live. We're not perfect people, but when you are close to God, you feel the sin and the unrighteousness. It hurts you. It hurts you on your inside. It hurts you when you see it in other people. Enoch walked with God, and it was a public walk. And it was not a private walk. You see, Enoch walked with God, and it wasn't an event. It was not for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or even for a couple of months or a couple of years. It was a lifestyle. And because he did it every year for 300 years. So what is the payoff for walking with God? What is this compensation? It says in Hebrews 11:5, Enoch also believed because Enoch's faith, God took him away to heaven. He did not die like other people. And as a result, no one could ever find him because God had taken him away. Before God took him away, it was clear that Enoch made God happy. And so it talks about before Enoch was taken up, and then it talks about Enoch being taken up. So before he was taken up, while he was still living out these 300 years that he was walking with God, God testified with his special presence in Enoch's life. And he said that I am with Enoch, and Enoch is with me. God steered him, and God directed him throughout his life. One of the reasons that we do not hear from God often is because they are so far away from God that his voice is undetectable. If I whisper in your ear, it's because you're close enough to hear me. But if you're far away, then you don't hear me. When you walk with someone and you don't have to scream, it's because you're within proximity that is close and you can hear their voice. If you're not walking with God, then you won't hear him giving you direction. You won't hear him guiding you. You won't hear him redirect you or steer you, because the proximity between you and God is not that close. Enoch walked with God. And it says that God testified, validated, and verified his walk. He could have done it 100 different ways in validating Enoch's life, I suppose. I don't know how he would do it for you or how he's going to do it for me. But God says that those who walk with me by faith, even though they do not see me, if they believe that I am the rewarder of those that seek me, they will get a testimony or an affirmation from those who from me. Now, if you're not used to walking, it takes a little bit of practice. For when a newborn baby is learning to walk, they fall down a few times, don't they? And it's because they're not used to walking. Our 8-month-old grandson named Caden is starting that phase of standing and trying to walk. And Delia and I look upon the iPad in amazement almost every day as we watch him almost daily, scooting around and struggling to stand up and eventually walking. He's not quite there yet. But you know what? That doesn't stop him. He constantly tries to stand up and walk. And one day, after the numerous times, he will be successful. He will take some bumps and some bruises. He will take some cuts and some lumps. He may fall down even a few times after he finally stands up and walks. But you know what the old saying says is this: practice makes perfect. And by the way, if you want to see pictures of Caden, and trust me, everybody will, right? I mean, seriously, come on. Delia has about 2,000 pictures in her phone she'd be more than happy to show you. And I promise you it won't take that long to look at after service. If you're on an exercise program and you're just starting, you won't go very far, because your body is not used to exercising. You'll be sore and stiff, and as a result, probably rethink this novel idea of this exercise idea. So it's going to take a little bit of practice. a little bit of dedication and a little bit of habit. But let me tell you what helps you with your exercising. And it is when you are exercising with someone else. Because that someone can help you keep up going by the conversation that is taking place during the exercise. Because the conversation that is taking place, it helps you distract you from the frustration and the perspiration of the workout. Or better stated, it helps keep your mind off of the pain that you're feeling as you're exercising. So it is with walking with God. You may have a person that is mentoring you and assisting you in questions or praying with you and talking to you about that walk. If not, we can help you find one. We call that discipleship making here at this church. So when you're walking with someone, they help you to go further than you could on your own, because the relationship that you have with them helps distract you from the pain of the movement. So everybody who is going to start walking with God, who's going to be moved from a religious Christian to a walking Christian, who's going to be moved from a Sunday morning Christian to an all-week Christian, to an all-year Christian, or even to a 300-year-old Christian, is going to take a little bit used getting used to. You may not be used to hearing the voice of God, and you may not even be used to walking. But it may be a little tough when you first get started, and including Him in everything, all day, all week, to asking the Holy Spirit that when you first get up, to open up your mind to His thoughts, asking the Holy Spirit to give you the right decision-making power for today, to ask the Holy Spirit sent to you to help walk within the Spirit, to show you who to relate to, how to speak to them, how to stay away from this, how to avoid that. You may not be used to that, but since you are walking with God and He knows where He is going, He will begin to lead you in the ways so that you can experience His direction. And then I love how the passage ends, because it says that he was not, for God took him. How you live will determine how you leave. I want you to hear that again. How you live will determine how you leave. Everyone will not die the same. It says that Enoch was walking with God and he was not, for God took him. Here is how I imagine it was going between God and Enoch. For 300 years they were walking and God was included in everything. Enoch was asking what God would want him to do about that, what he should handle this, what to do about that, talk about the family problem that was happening. You see, God showed him that they will do this walk for 300 years, year after year after year. And then they finally hit the 300th year and they kept walking, and they had been doing so because they are used to doing this every day. They meet to go walk every day, and early in the morning God puts on his tennis shoes and Enoch puts on his, and they just go walking. And then after walking for 300 years, God says, "Hey, Enoch, buddy, you know that we've been walking for a very long time, and I really have enjoyed it. And as a result, because we're walking a very long time, I think we're a little closer to my house than to yours. So let's just keep on walking to my home." That's what happened to Stephen. Stephen, in the book of Acts at the end of the seventh chapter, says that Stephen looked up and he saw heaven open up, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand side of the Father in heaven. And Stephen said, "Receive my spirit." And that is what happened to Paul. Paul says that I am ready to be offered up. I'm finished with what I have to do down here. It's time to go. Let's just whisk me out of here. As we close, there's a true story about a man named Tony, and I've talked about Tony some to some of y'all. That was really not his real name, but I could not pronounce his real name, for he was an Iranian Muslim. So I called him Tony for simplicity's sake. He was a handsome man, muscular, charismatic, suave, a people's person, so much so that everybody was drawn to him, including his wife and his many girlfriends. It was until he came down with liver cancer. Slowly, Tony's life started to change, not having the energy that he once had, losing weight and becoming depressed and angry, his muscular body losing tone, his looks fading. His friends could not bear to see him in such a way, and they stopped coming around because it hurt him too much to watch the changing and challenging transformation. He was becoming the shell of what he once was. For him, memories were only fed by what he once was, and then shaped by what his life was becoming as he started to die. He became angry and fearful, and hatred was coming from his mouth and through his actions. But for some reason, though, he wanted me to see him every day. And though he and I were not of the same religious and ideological beliefs, and then one day he asked me, "What is so different about you, Charlie, from other people?" And I had the chance to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And before that day, he gave his life to Jesus. Immediately, he wanted to start his new life. He was not worried about healing. He was not worried about getting well. He wanted to walk with Jesus. And with the little time he had left, he wanted everyone else to walk with God as well. He led his brother and his wife to the Lord. He reunited with his wife, and she came to know Jesus as well and started to walk with him. Tony even told his girlfriends that they were no longer his girlfriends, but that if they wanted to, they could always come to the Bible study that I led daily for those 5 days. All that happened within the 5 days. On a particular Monday, Tony called me early, early in the morning, and he told me that he had a dream. And its content was that he was going to walk into heaven's gate the next day on Tuesday at 11 a.m. of all things, less than 20 hours from the time that he first placed the call to me. He and his wife, his brother, and his brother's wife wanted me to be there. And I have to be honest with you, I never heard of anyone being able to predict the time of death on a particular day. And so just out of curiosity and also due to the fact of ministry, I decided to go there, and I got there at 6 a.m. on that Tuesday morning. He was, to my surprise, already slipped into a coma state. His brother said that he lost consciousness at 3 a.m. that morning, 3 hours before I got there. Tony was surrounded by his family, and as time ticked down closer to 11 a.m., his breathing was more shallow. His extremities were cold. His fingertips were blue. At 11 a.m., we were all there, but he was still alive, though barely. And I have to confess that I thought perhaps his prediction was a result of the narcotics that he was taking in his system to help him with his enduring pain and help him with his breathing. However, at 11:10 a.m., Tony took his last breath. His brother covered his head with a sheet as we waited for the funeral home to come. And once they arrived, his wife walked over and removed the sheet from his face. And there we saw not one, but two transformations that had happened. You see, when Tony took his last breath, he opened up his mouth as if he were in awe at the scene he saw in heaven and seeing Jesus in the majesty of God. But then when we took his sheet off his face, he was smiling as he walked into the presence of God. Now, Tony's walk was not that long. Like I said, only about 4 or 5 days. But I can tell you that he walked a lifetime in those few days. You see, God captivated him and took him hook, line, and sinker. Everything that Tony lived for, the drugs, the sex, the wealth, the power, the influence, the popularity, and the notoriety, was an empty vessel for him. It was meaningless. And the more that he lived that life, the more he had to do those things in order to keep the same feeling. It was sort of like a revolving wheel, self-perpetuating, until he was captured in the presence of God. In the video that we're about to watch, and we'll use that as our time to respond to God's call, it says these words: "Your face is beautiful, and your eyes are like the stars. Your gentle hands have healing deep within the scars. Your loving arms, they draw me near, and your smile, it brings me peace. Draw me closer, oh my Lord. Draw me closer, Lord, to thee. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, set our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence. Falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you. Tony laced up his tennis shoes up figuratively and prepared to meet God every day, every morning. He found out that God is real and that he is the rewarder indeed of those who diligently seek him. Those things of the past just became that, the past. Maybe you've been walking the fence line, not giving much of your life to him, rationalizing it with the words, I will give just enough to make him happy and to satisfy myself so that I can say I'm doing my part. And yet there still remains a hunger for God. Perhaps you have felt the Holy Spirit lead you further, but you are afraid of what that will mean for you in regards to your life as it is now, and what that means in regards to giving up things that you still want to have control over. Perhaps you're afraid of walking with him because you're so unworthy to walk with him. After all, why would God want to walk with someone, a sinner such as me? Or you might ask yourself. Or maybe you just don't know how to walk with God. After all, no one has shown you. First thing you must do is to know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the only way that you can do that is through his son, Jesus Christ. He died for you to break the chains that have bound you to your sin, to your attitude, to your loneliness, to your perceived unworthiness of him. We have here people that can help you to find him and have a vibrant walk and relationship with him if you want. Perhaps today you have a renewed interest in not walking by yourself in an empty and dead-end journey. If so, there are people here that would love to help you start this new walk with God. Will you please come and walk with God? At this point in time, we're going to have a video.
Do for others only what you would have others do for you.